Pakistan, as well as in North America and other places, literally hundreds of thousands of followers in various parts of the world, the aforementioned places, as well as in these parts, Central Asian states, the former Soviet states. So we're very, very fortunate to have in our ranks, in our midst today. Let us, inshallah, take the maximum benefit from the advices that will be tendered, inshallah. We also take the opportunity of saying a warm shukran and jazakallah khairan to Hazrat for taking on this valuable time to be with us today.
سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم عين يشرب بها المقربون سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون سلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم جاء في حديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم العلم نور technology is light in another حديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said اطلب العلم من المهد إلى الله. You should seek knowledge right from your cradle up to your grave. It means every moment should be a student, should be a seeker of knowledge throughout his life. No matter he is young, he is elderly, it's day, it's night. All the time he should be a seeker of knowledge. But when we get knowledge, there are two levels. Number one, we know so many things, this first level. And second level is that we practice those things. Because we feel in our daily life that whatever we know, sometimes we cannot practice it. So that's why this knowledge has been divided in two parts. One is called ilm, and the other one is called ilm nafir. Ilm nafir means beneficial knowledge. Let me quote an example. A person who smokes, he knows that smoking is bad for the health. And sometimes he advises the small children, I have this bad habit, but please don't smoke in your life. So it means he knows that smoking is dangerous for health, it's cancerous. But he has a temptation in his nerves which he cannot resist. That's why he takes food and after that he starts smoking. So he knows something but he does not act upon it. Similarly, sometimes we have a lot of information and we talk to the people, I know everything. Yes, you know everything, this is not the final. Final is that how much we act upon the knowledge. And this is the question which we will be asked on the day of judgment. That how much you knew and how much you acted upon it. So we need a nur. We need a motivation power which should enable us to act upon our knowledge. So when we see seek the knowledge of Deen, then one, we get the information, and second, we get a light, a nur in our heart. This gives us the pushing force to act upon our knowledge. This is called ilm-e-nafi. How we can get this ilm-e-nafi? Our mashayikh, they have clearly mentioned that the person who is more respectful to knowledge, he will get this ilm-e-nafi. This is called adab. Adab means when you love someone and you respect him, then love with respect is called adab. So any person who has adab, he will get that nur. And the person who is deprived from adab, he will be deprived from the nur of that knowledge. Ad-deenu kulluhu adabun. Our deen is all adab. أدب النفس أيها الأصحاب طرق العشق كلها خطا. The path of this love of all other. So we should try to know what is other and practice in our life. Due to this other, we will get the rule of our knowledge. For example, if we are respectful to our teachers, we will get the knowledge and we will get the nur of the knowledge. So this adab is something very important. Ba adab, ba naseeb, be adab, be naseeb. So we should try to get this knowledge. Now the question arises, from where this adab came in? Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught this adab. Look in Quran. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, he was in a valley. When he saw a nur coming out from a tree, he wanted to go near to this nur. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, فَخْلَعْ نَعْلَيْهِ إِنَّكَ فِي الْبَابِ الْمُقَدَّسِ تُوَى. You should take off your shoes because you are in a respected valley. It means to take off the shoes was the adab of that place. That's why we make lot of adab of the masjid. We cannot come in the masjid with our shoes. We come in the masjid, we don't talk about the dunya. We don't shout. We don't backbite. We don't talk about the dunya. Why? Because this is adab of this house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every moment a Muslim is ba'adab. He makes adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He makes of adab of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He makes adab of Kaaba. He makes adab of the books of Deen and the ulama of Deen. He makes adab of his elders, all the elders. That's why it has been mentioned that the person who respected an elderly man who has made his hair white in Islam, it is as good as he has respected his Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Deen has taught us adab, that we should live life of adab. So our mashayikh, they used to take care of the adab. So any person who will be ba adab, he will get knowledge as well as the nur of the knowledge. And this nur of the knowledge then pushes the man to act upon it. This is a pushing force for the person to act upon the knowledge. Our mashayikh, they used to get that nur in their heart. That's why they used to act upon their knowledge. So the bottom line is that if we practice adab, we get the nur of the knowledge, which is called ilm-e-nafi. And when we get ilm-e-nafi, we can't stay without acting upon it. Al-ilm bila amal kashajar bila samar. Knowledge without practice is as if there is a tree without a fruit. So the fruit of the knowledge is act upon it. So then we get the nur of this knowledge, we will act upon this. Then, 3 points. We will be respectful, ba'adab. We will get the nur of the knowledge. By getting the nur of the knowledge, we will get the tawfiq to act upon it.
توفیق حمل صالح. And when we become father, then we will be bestowed and by another bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is called hikmat, wisdom. وَمَنْ يُبْتَ الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. And this hikmat is a special blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the person who is knowledgeable and the person who acts upon his knowledge, he gets wisdom from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wisdom means that he becomes so talented that deep down he can go and see what is inside this matter. So our all the mashayikh, they have a lot of hikmat in their life. That's why they had a deepness, they had depth in their knowledge. Let me go one to example. Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. So he was the biggest scholar of his time. The ruler of the country wanted to make him chief justice of the country, but he wanted to avoid it because he was doing the khidmat of ill. And he used to say that when I will become chief justice, I will just take care of the masail of nikah and talaq, which even my student can do. So I am for this research, for ijtihad, for those masail which no one knows what's the answer. So he wanted to avoid. So once the ruler sent his policeman to arrest Imam Azam, and he talked to him, I am going to appoint you chief justice of the country. Imam Azam Rahmatullah, he replied, I am not suitable for the chief justice post. He said, no. Imam Azam Rahmatullah, he replied, okay, I made a statement. I am not suitable for the chief justice post. Now, either it is true or it is a lie. So if you say that I have lied, a liar, he cannot be chief justice of the country. And if you say that I am true, then I am saying I am not suitable for the post of the chief justice. So the rule of the time, he could not answer. This is hikmat. Once Imam Azam Rahmatullah Alayhi, he got a mas'ala and someone told him that if I am making 4 rakat and after 2 rakat I am supposed to stand up for the 3rd rakat at the point when I recite Abduhu wa Rasuluh. But suppose if I forget and I recite something more, what I have to do? Then ulama replied that if he recited after 2nd rakat in At-Tahiyyat, Allahumma, and he then remembered and got up, no problem. If he recited Allahumma salli, again got up, no problem. If he recited Allahumma salli ala, and got up, no sajda. But Imam Yadav, he gave fatwa, if he recited Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, this word, now he has to give sajda, sahab at the end of the namaz, then his namaz will be okay. Now Imam Azam Rahmatullah, when he delivered the fatwa, in the dream he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked him, Abu Hanifa, you gave fatwa? Who one takes my word, my name, he has to make sajda sahab? Imam Azam Rahmatullah, he humbly replied, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I did not give this fatwa. I gave fatwa, who takes your name neglectfully, forgetfully, he has to make sajda sahab. So he smiled. This is hikmat. So when some person is father, he gets the nur of the knowledge, ilm nafi. When he gets the nur of the knowledge, he gets the force to act upon the knowledge. And when he acts upon the knowledge, he gets wisdom from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this wisdom is something very strange.
the son of Shah Wali Ullah Mujahideen Rahmatullah, Shah Abdul Aziz Rahmatullah, once he was sitting, so one white man came to him and said, "You teach in your madaris such knowledge, there is no math, no science, no geography, and your students, they are very narrow-minded. Whereas in our schools, we teach these most modern sciences, and our students are very open-minded." He had his son with him. So Shah Abdul Aziz Rahmatullah Alayh, he asked his son that, "Please, do you look at this? What is this?" He said, "It's a pond." He said, "Okay, tell me, how many cups of water are in this pond?" Now the son of that white man, he looked at the pond and he was confused. He said, "I don't know." So he called one of his students, who was the student of Manti. He asked him, "What is this?" He replied, "Pond. How many cups of water are in this pond?" Now the student replied, "Hazrat, if the size of cup is equal to the pond, there is one cup of water. If it is half, then there are two cups of water." So this is basically wisdom. That when you get wisdom, you go deep down in your thinking. So anyone who gets wisdom, then he is blessed with another quality. What is that? He knows the actual theme and story of this world. That in this world, we are not only to live. We are just to prepare for the hereafter. This is an examination heart. And time is passing. So he knows that what should be the goal of my life. So then he stays away from the ambition of this world. He fulfills his needs and he live a goal-oriented life. So this is the result of the wisdom. Any person who is wise, he will have a goal-oriented life. Always he will remember, one day I have to leave this world, so I have to get prepared. A wise man, he can just understand it. Otherwise, everyone you will see, he will be just busy in enjoying in this world. So enjoying in this world is not the goal of life. Goal of life is to get prepared for the hereafter, which is the real life, where we have to go. So then, through wisdom, we get another thing which is called zuhud. Zuhud means that to keep you away from the ambitions of this life and keep you straight towards your goal of life. And when a person gets this goal-oriented life, then another thing he gets, that he remains attentive towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is called anabat ilallah. So the person who is blessed with anabat ilallah, he will feel, he will be very careful about his spending his time. He will always be busy in constructive work. He will make khidmat of the human being, he will make khidmat of the deen. All his time will be a fruitful time. He will not waste even 1 second of his life because he knows the value of time. Time is my life. And I am here in this world for a short period of time. So he will get anabat ilallah. And when he will get anabat ilallah, he will try to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the goal of our life. So he will make more ibadat, more good work. He will work hard in this world to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the final destination of the moment. And when he will make more ibadat, then he will be blessed with another bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is called good. يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِالنَّوَافِلِ. The person who makes more ibadat, optional ibadat, then he becomes close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best award what a person can get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the proof is from Quran. When Fir'aun
he ordered his magician that they should compete with Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Then the magician asked the question, okay, if we will be successful, what will we get in return from you? He replied, إِنَّكُمْ إِذَلَّ مِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ. If you will be successful, then I will make you my Muqarrab. You will get close to me. And to get close to someone, to get proximity of someone, is the best award which you can get. So for a moment, the best award in this life is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves someone and he includes in the group of those people who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are muqarrab to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the taqarrub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our goal, and how we should achieve it, we have to start from adab, because adab is the bottom line. So anyone who is mu'addab, who is blessed with adab, he will get step by step all these bounties from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me quote one story. There was a student of Imam Ahmad Muhammad rahmatullah. He passed away. Someone saw him in dream and asked him, what happened to you? He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave all my sins to one of my amal. Once I was traveling with Imam Ahmad Muhammad rahmatullah and we had to pray, we wanted to make ablution wudu. So we sat on the bank of the canal and we started making wudu, and then I found out that I am sitting upstream and the water I am using is going towards Imam Ahmad Muhammad rahmatullah. So I found that this is against the adab. So I just stood up, came, sat towards the downstream place, I made wudu. Due to this adab of a scholar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all my sins. Same in the story of the Veda, that someone saw her in dream and asked her, what happened to you? She said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all my sins. What happened? You made a canal, the Veda? She said, no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave me for an amal which I never remembered even. So what happened? She said, once I was just taking food, I was hungry. So I took a piece of bread and wanted to take it into my mouth. And suddenly I listened the sound voice from the masjid, Allahu Akbar Azam. So as soon as I listened the word Allah, I found that my piece of cloth on my head was halfway. So I put the bread on one side, and due to the adab of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I first covered my head. And then I took the bread. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you are hungry. And you delayed your piece of bread due to the respect of my name. So I am going to forgive all the sins of the world. Any person who is ba'adab, he will be blessed. One of our friends here is civil engineer in Makkah Mukarramah. He told me that the builder of Makkah Mukarramah, he is the person who is building Makkah Mukarramah, Baitullah, as well as Masjid Nabawi, and he got the opportunity to build Baitul Muqaddas. And one day he offered one prayer in Makkah Mukarramah, other prayer in Masjid Nabawi, and the third one in Baitul Muqaddas. So I asked him that he is the best person because to build Kaaba is the duty of the Anbiya, Memar Kaaba Ibrahim alayhi salam. And he got the opportunity for the renovation. So he replied that yes, he is such a blessed person. I asked, what is the special thing in his life? He said that he has a lot of adab in his life. And due to this adab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him for the building of Baitullah, building of Masjid Rasulullah, and building of Qibla Awwal Baitul Muqaddas. It means we should try to learn adab, teach our ladies in the house adab, our children about the adab, and we should make dua. Allah, give us the life of adab in this world, and give us your qurb on the day of judgment. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillah.
And the great saying of wisdom of Sayyidina Luqman alayhi salam comes to mind when he advises his son that, O my beloved son, hold steadfastly to the company of the pious scholars who, by means of their company, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings alive dead hearts, just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings alive a dead tract of land by means of beneficial rains. May Allah ta'ala protect Hazrat and give him a long life, inshallah, for us to continuously benefit from these words of wisdom, inshallah. And just a few very important announcements. Is that we are extremely fortunate in our community that this evening, inshallah, we envisage to have a very great alim furthermore visiting us this evening, Hazrat Qari Amir Hassan Hafizahullah, indeed a great scholar. He is over 90 years old, has benefited from the company of great personalities such as Shaykh al-Hadith Maulana Muhammad Zakaria, Mufti Mahmud al-Hassan Gangohi, as well as Maulana Abdul Qadir Raifuri rahimahumullah ta'ala. As well as one of the outstanding feats in his life is that from the time of qualification up to now, a period reaching 70 years, he has been involved in the teaching of Quran and Deen in one institution. He is at the present in Mozambique, inshallah, due to a flight delay. He should have been here, but inshallah, the program will take place this evening at Maghrib, immediately after Maghrib, inshallah. Provided he reaches in time, inshallah, the program will take place immediately after the Maghrib Salah, inshallah, this evening. Let us all try and take the maximum benefit, inshallah. And then on Sunday night, inshallah, we will have another visiting alim, Hazrat Abdul Mu'id, the son of Haji Farooq Sahib, delivering advices this Sunday after the Maghrib Salah immediately as well. Also an announcement is that next week, Saturday, inshallah, the 29th of May, a program undertaken by the females within our community at the Greenside Primary School, awareness in various aspects, various activities, and matters to be discussed in the program next week, Saturday morning at 9:45 will take place at the Greenside Primary. Now we are all very, very aware, sadly, very sadly, of the publication of the derogatory cartoons in the Mail and Guardian newspaper this morning regarding our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I will read very briefly a statement issued by the Jamiatul Ulama in response to this, defending the honor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This morning, Muslims have been offended by the publishing in the Mail and Guardian newspaper of a cartoon considered blasphemous. Until late last night, the Jamiatul Ulama had attempted unsuccessfully to apply for an interdict to stop the circulation of the paper as soon as news was received that the Mail and Guardian would carry the offensive cartoons. For a nation like ours, cartoons that perpetuate stereotypes and promote prejudice are unacceptable as they malign sections of the community, cultivating animosity instead of building bridges. Furthermore, it is the nature of cartoonists to push the boundaries of what is sometimes generally and socially acceptable. Islam does not condone ridicule, crudity and indecency in any form, regardless of the intention. It is important to note that the defamation of the Prophet of Islam, Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is nothing new. Attempts at maligning his Mubarak character or casting aspersions on his image are as old as Islam itself. Some non-Muslims of Makkah Mukarrama did it. The hypocrites of Medina Munawwara did it. Some of the Orientalists in recent times did it, and the disciples continue to do so. This is another phase of the primal battle between good and evil, and it will continue so long as the world remains. But today it seems to have acquired another face, open provocation. Let us also note the status and the dignity of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in no way diminished by such provocative cartoons. Allah had in the Quran Kareem said to those who had made a mockery of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّاكَ فَيْنَاكَ الْمُسْتَحْزِهِينَ. Verily, we personally suffice on your behalf regarding those who make a mockery of you. The hurt felt by all of us is linked to the love, respect and the reverence we have for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as we have been hurt by this attack on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Jamiatul Ulama appeals to all Muslims to register our disgust and protest in a responsible manner that will engender the cultivation of a harmonious atmosphere the world over. The Jamiatul Ulama is committed to the defense of the honor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and do all it can to this end. Very important also added on to this is an appropriate time for us to do some introspection. Definitely the heartfelt is a sign of true and sincere muhabbat and love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us take it a step and manifest this love as we do so verbally in the legal forms of protest, but also practically let us do introspection as to how is this love being manifested by means of sunnah and ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lives. May Allah ta'ala guide me personally on all of us, inshallah.